This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ the Savior was born on Christmas Day.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Boxing Day. Kwanzaa. You know, this time of year, there's so many different things going on, but there's one thing that everyone can agree on, and that is Dio is awesome. Welcome to the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Camaro, joined as always by my festive friend, Chris Sinzak.
What's happening?
Ready to rock and roll today, man.
It's Dio-cember.
It's about time Dio-cember got here.
Yeah, it took 7 years.
7 years been waiting for Dio-cember, and it's finally here.
Yeah, we're doing a special on Ronnie James Dio today, and you'll get a second volume pretty soon, too.
That's right, because we got a whole month of Dio-cember.
Well, really a whole week, but yeah.
Well, you know, the playing and the recording, it's all relative.
Yeah.
Before we get into all that, of course, you know, we got to take care of our business here, and our favorite course of business is the reviews and the recommendations. And guess what, people? Today we got all three. Yeah. That's right. Facebook, iTunes, Podchaser, it's all here. Let's start out with an iTunes one. This one is, oh yeah, they're back, all five of them, 5 stars. Comes to us from Mighty K right here in the good old USA. It goes a little something like this. I just started listening to podcasts a year ago. Just found this one a couple of weeks ago. So grateful I did. I love listening and getting really interesting info on the bands I know, but I also really love finding out about bands I haven't heard of yet. The guys have a great show. And that comes to us from Mighty K. 5 stars, iTunes, love it.
It's a great one.
Thanks, dude. All right.
That's a she, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the 1% of our audience.
Girls love us.
I know.
All right. That's very cool. Here's a Podchaser review. 5 stars. These are pink stars. I like that, too. Goes a little something like this. Decibel Geek is a never-miss podcast. Even if the music isn't always necessarily in my wheelhouse, Aaron and Chris are always entertaining, and although 100% knowledgeable about the subjects, don't come off as know-it-alls, and aren't afraid to say, I didn't know that. Can't recommend the show enough.
And that's from the Synaptic Empire, who is Randy Brown, who we've had the Expo for 2 years in a row.
That's right. Very
cool. Thanks
so
much, Randy.
That's awesome. And finally, wrapping things up today with a Facebook recommendation from Gunter Schroeder. He recommends Decibel Geek Podcast. Why? He says, do you know what I love? Sitting in gridlock traffic on the highway. Why, you ask? Because of podcasts like this. Their Albums Unleashed series is awesome. And in-depth discussions on some of hard rock and metal's all-time classic recordings. John Corabi talking about Motley Crue's self-titled album. Michael Wagner dissecting the recording of the first two Skid Row albums. And so much more. Two great hosts with incredible love and knowledge of the greatest genre of music known to mankind. Bring on Rush Hour Traffic. Rock on, dudes. 666 stars.
That's a lot of stars.
That's a lot. That's amazing. You can't ask for nothing better than that for Christmas time.
Yeah, those are gifts for us. Yeah, all three of them. Thank you guys so much.
Very cool. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, man, we really busted it out for you guys. We brought you 81 Part 1, and last week we did 81 Part 2. Had a lot of great response to both of those. Everybody loves it when we do the year in reviews. Who loves it more than anybody else?
The people that
get out there and reshare it and retweet it and all that good stuff, those are our Geeks of the Week.
Geeks of the Week this week are Sneed Rock, Tom Cullen, Derek Novak, Kevin Williams, Sean Cullen, Matt Ashcraft, Joe Royland, Sit and Spin with Joe, Shane Aber, Todd Cunningham, Mark Alden Taylor, Rock and Ron Runyon, Ronnie Dixon, Brent Cattell, Mikhail Burrell, Ray Kuhn, Simon Catt, Jay Shabluski, Dave Koska, Adam Cox, David Glenn, Brad Kalmanson, Joseph Capone, Mike Parnell, Tom Smoke, Christopher Stokes, Daniel Lee, Eladio, Jeff Mendenhall, Bipolar Billy, David Cathy, and, of course,
the Mooger Fooger. That's right, everybody out there celebrating this wonderful holiday season of rock and roll. And this one around here for us, Dio.
Yeah, let's get to it.
It's been a long time coming, man. We've never actually done a full episode dedicated entirely to Dio. Why? I have no idea.
I don't know.
I love Dio. You love Dio.
Yeah, seems like a natural.
Who doesn't love Dio?
I don't know.
And so what a great way to celebrate the month of Dio-cember right here on the Decibel Geek Podcast. We're going to break this up into two different episodes, 2 different weeks. The first week, we're going to do pre-Dio, mm-hmm. where before he went solo, so that covers what, like 72 up to like 81?
Yeah, around there.
And then we're going to, next week, we're going to pick up from Holy Diver and go forward. So we're picking out some of our favorite songs, something you guys should check out and really enjoy. And as always, we recommend everybody go and purchase the music. Yes. Dio may be gone, but the legacy lives on. We want to celebrate that legacy. And we want people to know how much Dio means to us. And, you know, there's no better way to speak to that than record sales and, you know, downloads and all that good stuff. So mm-hmm. get out there and support your Dio and show the world. He may be gone, but he'll never be forgotten.
We have to make clear that no holograms will be harmed in the making of this episode.
So, very funny.
Too easy. All right, so I guess I'll start. I think I have the earliest pick on here. And I'm going to play something by Elf. And this is from the Elf self-titled album that came out in 1972. The members of the band grew up together, basically honky-tonk rock and roll from upstate New York.
Yeah, that's weird.
And produced by Roger Glover and Ian Paice from Deep Purple, who they had toured with at that time.
Right on.
In this album, Dio is listed by his birth name, Ronald Padavona. Though Dio had used Padavona for songwriting credits on earlier singles, he explained in an interview in 1994 that he went by his name on this album mostly as a tribute to his parents. He wanted his parents to see his name on the album. The album certainly differs from his later works with songs like Hoochie Coochie Lady and Dixie Lee Junction. But there are hints of some greatness to come, such as this track entitled Nevermore.
Can't remember how I got from here. Any reason, plain and simple, I can't recall anymore, would be misleading. We'll be right back.
See, that's wild, man. That old original Elf stuff. I've never listened to any of that. Like, this is going to be my first introduction to this band.
Yeah.
Because, like, the little bits and pieces of it I heard are so unlike what you come to associate the name Dio with.
Right.
That it was always hard for me to even, like, I don't even know if I want to start to try to understand any of this.
Yeah, but with that song and some other stuff, there's hints of what was to come in there.
Yeah.
We played a clip of a song called Carolina County Ball on one of our, I think it was one of the Year in Review episodes.
Yeah.
It's different, you know, if you're expecting sorcery and dragon slaying, you're not going to get it. But it's pretty good rock and roll stuff.
And, you know, as a kid, I always assumed that Dio was from England.
Did you?
Sure, because, I mean, you think about all the bands that he was in, especially his pre-solo era.
Right.
You know, it's Rainbow, which has got the Deep Purple connection, mm-hmm. and that's English, and then it's Sabbath, and that's English, you know. So I always assumed that Dio was English, and it wasn't until I got older to realize, wow, Dio's an American.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So I go, I guess we'll just keep moving along. I don't know if these are in any kind of particular order. I mean, it's so hard. This is, again, another one of those things where it's like, how do you take these many albums that are so good mm-hmm. and whittle it down to five picks?
That's difficult.
It's almost impossible. So we're just going to pick out some of our favorites today. And, you know, after Elf, it wasn't too long that, you know, after working with them and producing the albums and stuff, that Richie Blackmore's Rainbow says, we need a new singer, and he's splitting off from Deep Purple. He wants to make a break, and he wants to make it big. Mm-hmm. And that's when he reaches out to Ronnie James Dio and says, man, you got to be a part of this. And the album's awesome. I mean, I remember listening to this one when I was a little kid, not even knowing, you know, nothing about Dio at that time. Just mm-hmm. listening to this just to have something to listen to. It was like one of my uncles had it. And I just always remember the opening track and how heavy it is and how much it kicks ass and how it was my favorite song at Rockin' Pod Expo this last year because I was the man with the silver jacket.
That's true.
And everybody was coming up and singing that to me all day long. But, man, one of my all-time favorite songs, not just Rainbow, not just Dio, but rock and roll in general. You gotta love it. Off of Richie Blackmore's Rainbow, this is Man on the Silver Mountain.
I'm the sun.
You don't need silver bells when you have the man on the Silver Mountain.
Shoot, no. You know, you don't even need green sleeves or anything like that.
Right.
This is a great album all the way through.
Yeah, it's an awesome one. So I'm going to go to the next one on Rainbow Rising. Came out May 17th, 1976, produced by Martin Birch. Only Ronnie, aside from Richie, was retained from the first album, joining the band. On this one is Cozy Pal Jimmy Bain and Tony Carey, which is a hell of a
great
lineup.
Yeah.
This album was recorded in Munich in less than 4 weeks. I mean, that's pretty impressive. In 96, Cozy Pal told Record Collector magazine that much of the album was recorded in one or two takes, with some of the subsequent overdubs, which explains why there's no alternate or demo, you know, alternate demos or anything.
Right.
Just the original or rough mixes. It was the only Rainbow album to go platinum in the U.S.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's an insanely good album from start to finish. My favorite tune on this one is Starstruck.
See the things are closer every day.
again, that kind of goes back to show why a young guy like me would think Ronnie was from England. Because, again, this man was huge overseas, but not really catching on so much in the States.
Right.
You know, so it almost seems like he was a part of that more than what he actually was. He was recruited from here to become a part of it.
And I think Rising, I mean, I don't know that there's a bad song on Rising. I think the whole thing is great. And the album cover is pretty epic, too. I mean, it's one of the classic albums from that time.
Yeah, I don't think Rainbow gets their due, especially back in those era, because, you know, Dio's known for the stuff he's done on his own. He's really known for these awesome Sabbath albums he was a part of. Yeah. But I don't think people really give Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow a chance when this is music that's definitely worth going back and checking out. If you love Dio, you owe it to yourself to check out some of this Rainbow stuff. Yeah. It's amazing. So I guess since we're not going in any kind of particular order, and I just picked out the ones that I whittled down to say, okay, these I think are my five favorites, and that changes in 5 minutes from now. But this is one that's never going to change. When Heaven and Hell was first introduced to me, the album, I think this was like one of the first times that I realized, you know, and when you're young in pre-internet days, you don't know about the histories of bands. You know, I didn't know nothing about Elf, and I had no idea Dio was, you know, something to do with anything when I'm hearing Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow when I'm real young. But once you get older and you start realizing this, you know, I knew Dio before I knew Dio was in Sabbath at one time. So then you go back and you rediscover stuff and you become more aware of the history of bands and things. And I remember Heaven and Hell listening to that for the first time and just being completely blown away. And it's heavy and it's rocking. And I remember listening to Sabbath, like my dad's records when I was a kid. And that's the old Ozzy stuff.
Right.
So this was a total mind blower for me to hear this for the first time. But this has always been one of my favorite tracks off that album from 1980s, Heaven and Hell. It's Black Sabbath along with Ronnie James Dio and a tune called Neon Nights.
Again and again, again and again.
killer song.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
So chugging.
Full of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, very, it's a big contrast from how Sabbath started. You know, there was not a lot of, not as doomy sounding, a little bit more up-tempo.
Right, I think Dio kind of, with his different style of songwriting and stuff and his contributions to the band, I mean, it must have been a trip for them to go from Ozzy, who really doesn't contribute a whole lot, you know, other than the performances and the vocals and the singing. But then Dio comes in, and this guy's a songwriter,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it changes the whole dynamic of the band right down to the music. You know, you listen to them albums with Dio, and you try to compare it musically to the stuff from, you know, the Ozzy era, and it's like the doom is kind of gone. I mean, there's mm-hmm. still elements of it in there, no doubt about it. I mean, you can't have Tony Iommi without elements of that, but, you know, like you say, a little more up-tempo, a little more upbeat, and a little more rocking.
Although the lyrical content got darker with Ronnie coming on board. Like Ozzy was
in a different way.
It was like a warning about evil. Ronnie's like, no, here's what evil is.
Right. You know,
So like the lyrics did get darker with him because he got more into the cerebral part of it rather than Ozzy was more of, you know, let's ward off or let's warn you about what could happen. Ronnie's like, no, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, because, I mean, even through Sabbath, all them years, there's a lot of religious iconography or whatever you want to call it going on in the music. And, you know, a lot of it's kind of implied and makes you, you know, Sabbath music and the stuff with Dio even too. It's music that sometimes if you really delve into the lyrics, it'll really make you think, you know, and it's like, these guys are trying to save us from going to hell.
Right.
One more reason to love them.
Yeah. So before we get, you know, too far under the Sabbath train, I want to play something off Long Live Rock and Roll from 1978. Came out in April of that year. The majority of the bass is actually played by Ritchie Blackmore on this album. And although Bob Daisley came on board during the recording of it, and he did play on some of it. It depends on who you believe on how much of it's Ritchie playing. The gatefold on this album is interesting because it features a big audience shot with people holding up the banner of Long Live Rock and Roll. But the story behind that shot, have you heard the story behind
that?
No. The picture was taken at a Rush concert. And they actually like airbrushed out a lot of the Rush logos on the t-shirts.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know why they chose to do that, but that's where the picture came from.
Well, it's the perfect picture for Long Live Rock and Roll.
Yeah, but it's an interesting story. Ronnie claims in interviews that this album drove a wedge between him and Ritchie, with Ritchie kind of wanting the band to be more pop-oriented, which would really come on the album after this one, after he left the band.
Right.
But that may be true of some songs on this, but I love this album, and this song, in my opinion, was a huge inspiration to metal acts that would come later. This is Kill the King.
Three. The Black and Blue Tour invades St. Louis at the Checkered Dome tomorrow night, co-starring Black Sabbath. And Blue Oyster Cult.
Season, don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain.
Tickets are on sale now at Backstage Records, Spectrum, Co-op, Lame Duck, the Checker Dome, or dial ticks 569-0500.
Just like witches at Black Master Head.
Contemporary presents the Black and Blue Tour. Co-starring Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult with special guest Shaken Street. Tomorrow night, the War Pigs, Iron Man, the Reaper. It's Black and Blue. It's meant for you. Rock and roll.
All right, before we get back into our conversation and celebration of the almighty Dio right here on the Decibel Geek Podcast, we're going to take a quick break. I want to let you know what's going on over at DecibelGeek.com. Yeah, album reviews for a band called Fifth Angel and a band I know you know, Bonfire. New stuff coming out by these bands. Check out those reviews. And also, oh, there's some big stuff going on. News stories about the band announcements for Sweden Rock, as well as the story about the new Tora Tora single. Who's not excited about that?
I can't wait. I saw Anthony at the show the other night, and he's raring to go with the new album.
He's probably really excited.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to talk to them about that.
That first single is awesome. I can't wait to hear the rest of it. Yeah. I love Tora Tora.
And Sweden Rock, we're going to have a whole crew of people going out reporting on that again this year.
Right on. Okay. So we'll be the place to find out all the happenings going on at Sweden Rock. You're going to find all your photos there, all your videos, all the write-ups. Everything's going to be at DecibelGeek.com. Of course, you know, DecibelGeek.com is not all we got going on. No, we've also got Decibel Geek TV. That's Rock and Ron Runyon producing Decibel Geek TV on the YouTube. And what's he got for us? Well, he's got the brand new episode of the Coon Brothers, their Christmas episode. Soda's up.
Yeah.
You got to check these guys out. They're a lot of fun, you know. Rock and Ron approved. And of course, Rock and Ron's such a hard worker. He's already got the 1981 year in review video put together for part one. And as we speak, he's working on part two.
Yeah, it's really cool what he does. He did. He, you know, put visuals to everything we're talking about. And you know, he does a great job with those. So
I love what
out.
He does with the year in reviews because, like, we talk about it. But when you watch the video, you get the visual that goes with it. And then you see, like, the pictures of the things that we're talking about and the clips of the news stories and all that. You know what? I love doing them episodes, but one of my favorite things about it is when it's all said and done and Ron comes out with it and then you can watch it too.
Yeah,
even I get a kick out of that because, you know, we learn so much from doing the year in review shows, but then just having that to go with it, I think makes you that much smarter.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, of course, we've got the Decibel Geek VIPs. You don't know about this? You got to know about it by now. Head on over to Patreon.com, look up Decibel Geek, and become a part of it because we're cranking out the Torpedo Dudes now. Yeah, we've got episode two up, and it's a Music from the Elder discussion. That's out now. Plus the one we did the week before with the Peter Chris discussion.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, it's a full another podcast.
Yeah.
About an hour long. We do, you know, this week in Kistery or whatever. You know, we have guests sometimes. We just recorded one just today, as a matter of fact, with a special guest. And we want you guys to check that one out. That's going to be coming up next. That'll be Torpedo Dudes Episode 3. But we're also going to be doing some cool stuff with our VIPs, including giveaways. And speaking of which, we've got some cool ones coming up, including a brand new AC/DC book. It's 1973 through 81, The Bon Scott Years by Jeff Apter.
Yeah.
It's an awesome book, and we're going to give that away to one of our VIPs. So if you're not a VIP yet,
get on board.
And you don't feel like you're getting enough Decibel Geek, like we said, sometimes you get caught up with your favorite podcast and then you don't want to wait for it. Well, that's what's beautiful about what we got going on, is because now that you're caught up and you have the need for more.
Yeah.
Well, we have the supply. You've got the need. The demand is there. Or go over to patreon.com, sign up to become a Decibel Geek VIP, and all that plus a whole lot more. We're talking hundreds of hours of extra audio content available for you right now. Go do it.
All for the price of a cup of coffee.
It's the perfect Christmas present.
It is.
Or Kwanzaa.
Give it to
or
yourself.
Hanukkah or Boxing Day or whatever.
Yeah, whatever your holiday.
Deosember.
Yeah. Celebrate Deosember by becoming a VIP.
You ready to get back to our Deosember celebration?
Yep, you're up.
Okay. All right. So like I said, this was so difficult to do, you know, to break down the career of Dio, pre-solo Dio, and pick out five favorite songs. There's so many good ones. I mean, it's nearly impossible, but this is one I just could not include. And we talked about it last week on our 1981 episode, the album Mob Rules by Black Sabbath. You know, if you want all the details, go back a week and listen to it. If you want the title track, crank it up, because here it is.
Mob Rules. Rules.
It rules.
Yeah.
If you listen to fools.
If you listen to fools like us. In stereo.
It's got to be true. It's in stereo.
That's, I think it's one of the greatest hard rock metal songs ever created.
Absolutely. And best, one of the best hard rock metal album covers and just albums all around. You know, I know that was kind of like the beginning of the cracks in the armor of that era of Black Sabbath, but you sure can't tell by listening to the album.
Oh, those two albums stand alone. They really do. You know, even though they went through trouble before and after those records, but those records alone are just, they're solid.
Yeah. It's almost, again, one of those things where maybe they should have called it something else. Maybe they could have got more longevity out of it. Maybe there wouldn't have been so many heads butting on it, you know, over what's what. When you get a band that's established as one thing and then you start over with a new set of musicians and a new vision and a new direction, and it takes a totally a different life of its own, like these two albums did, it's almost hard to think of these as Black Sabbath albums as much as you almost think about them as Dio albums featuring some of the guys from Sabbath.
Yeah, I mean, there's a case to be made for that. Although I love having them as part of the Sabbath catalog.
Which, yeah, for sure.
As we did in that, the other side of, or the other Sabbath, or whatever we called it, that where we did Tony Martin years and all the other years, Glenn Hughes. There's just, they're a band. They're like Kiss. There's one of those bands where you can find greatness in pretty much every release. Well, maybe not Born Again, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I don't. Not a fan. So I'm going to go to the Heaven and Hell album, released April of 1980. Also produced by Martin Birch. This is a theme you're going to notice. Some of this material was demoed with Ozzy, according to Geezer. There are tapes of Ozzy doing vocals for Children of the Sea.
Oh wow!
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah,
hers a much different melody line, like. Ronnie changed it quite a bit.
Sure. Because they sang, their styles were so different.
Very different.
Like Ozzy sang with, and Dio kind of jumps across,
yeah,
you know, with his lyrics.
And as much hate as Sharon seems to get, she is responsible for introducing Dio to Tony Iommi.
Yeah?
Yeah. Which is kind of funny because she married Ozzy.
Right. Yeah. And all that's going, it's, and all this stuff is going on at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull Ozzy out of obscurity and bring him back to the forefront. But in the meantime, I'm going to continue to help Sabbath by introducing them to what's going to become another legendary singer for them.
And original demo recordings for the album featured Jeff Nichols on bass, because Geezer was going through a divorce and his future with the band was in question. In fact, when Dio first joined the band, he doubled his bassist and vocalist, having played bass in Elf.
Oh, wow.
And Geezer would eventually return to the band and finish the album. But hard to pick one song off this album, but I went with Lady Evil.
Thank you.
so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Late 70s, there was like a lot of rock songs about evil women.
Well, I guess, you know, when you're in Sabbath, too, you know, that's kind of the
maybe it's the Sharon
course.
Connection. I don't know. Maybe he wrote it about her.
All these songs were about
Sharon. They're about Sharon, yeah.
Santana down the line to the Eagles, all of them.
Yeah, we figured it out. It's all about her.
All right, before we keep moving forward, I want to take a little step back because I want to revisit some Rainbow because, again, this is one of my favorite songs of all time. We already talked about it earlier in the show, so, I mean, no sense of messing around. It's the title track off the 1978 Rainbow album, Long Live Rock and Roll. It's something we can all live by. So, again, you know, it's only good if it's loud. So crank this one up, Long Live Rock and Roll. Legacy of Dio.
Yeah, that song's undeniable. Never gets old.
No.
Some of this material, it's like it kind of stands still in time. Like it doesn't sound dated to.
No, you don't
period.
Listen to this and go, "Oh, that must have came out in, you know, 78 or 81 right. or 80." You know, it really doesn't have. Because some bands you can listen to and go, "Oh, that's very 70s.
Right.
Some bands you can listen to and go, "Oh, that's so 80s. Mm. But this, like you say, it kind of does kind of suspend itself in time where it's like, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
It's that damn good.
It's got its own vibe to it. Well, I'm going to go to the Mob Rules album released November 4th, 1981, which is historical for me personally because that's one day before I turned 6 years old.
I'm sure you remember it well.
I remember it well.
Waiting at the line at the Tower Records, waiting for your copy of Mob Rules.
In my stroller. produced by Martin Birch also. According to Tony Iommi's biography, Iron Man, My Journey Through Heaven and Hell with Black Sabbath, the band began writing and rehearsing songs for Mob Rules at a rented house in Toluca Lake in L.A. Initially, the band hoped to record in their own studio to save money and actually purchased a sound desk. But according to Iommi, "We just couldn't get a guitar sound. We tried it in the studio. We tried it in the hallway. We tried it everywhere, but it just wasn't working. We bought a studio, and it wasn't working." They eventually recorded the album at the record plant in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Well, mission accomplished, because this album is killer, and my favorite track from it is Voodoo.
definitely would have included that. If this would have been my top six,
yeah.
Voodoo would have been in there for sure.
That's a great song.
Oh, I love that song so much.
Yeah.
All these songs today, I mean, there's not a clunker among them.
No.
And I think here's kind of the thing. You know, I've never met Dio. I'm sure there's probably somebody out there listening to this right now that knew Dio and, mm-hmm. and got to meet him or even got an autograph or maybe even know him on a personal level. Myself, personally, I've never met Dio. But the thing is he's gone now, you know, and out of all, like, the rock stars that passed away in recent memory, I don't think, other than maybe Lemmy, I don't think any of them hit me as hard as Dio. Because I've never seen Dio, never met Dio,
yeah.
you know, and now that opportunity was taken away. It's gone forever.
Yeah, it's true.
So all we have left now is like going on the YouTube and stuff and watching old videos, old interviews.
Well, there is a hologram.
Oh, yeah, I guess there is a hologram. So I guess there we got that. But other than that, you know, you go back and you watch these interviews and stuff, and he just seems like such a genuine person, you know, such a good dude. You know, when he's talking about writing these songs and trying to warn people about, you know, choices in life and, mm-hmm. and different paths you can take and, you know, hopefully that you pick to do good, you know, instead of doing people wrong,
yeah.
you know, and that's a lot of the repetition in these songs is, again, you know, that's the Sabbath way, but Dio took it to another level and his way of explaining things is just one of those things where it's like you don't just rock out to these songs, you can learn something yeah. from them too. And, you know, I hope everybody listening to this got a chance to meet Dio. And I know most of us haven't. But through the music, through the interviews, you know, it almost feels like he's a part of you mm-hmm. because you've learned so much from him. And, again, so genuine, so cool, and so well-spoken, and so yeah. smart, you know. And you think, oh, rock stars, these are big dummies partying all the time. Not Dio, man.
No, Dio very philosophical.
Very philosophical, yeah. great representation of hard rock and metal in the way that we want to be seen, mm-hmm. I think.
I agree.
So, you know, this whole Dio-cember celebration, as funny as that sounds, you know, that's really what it is. We wanted to take the time to celebrate the legacy of Dio, and I think we got off to a really good start with yeah. it here today. You know, next week you're going to get the solo Dio, and that's going to be a whole nother can of worms. How the hell are we going to pick five solo Dio songs?
It's not easy.
There's like twice as many albums of his from 81 on.
And there's great shit on all of them.
On every yeah. single one of them.
Yeah.
So let the inner turmoil begin. But this one for me was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
My favorite pre-solo Dio song.
Mm.
This is one that the first time I heard it, it blew me away. When you see Chris Sinzak posting videos of Lizzie Hale singing it,
yeah.
it blows me away.
It still sounds fresh today.
It's one of the greatest songs ever written.
It is.
And that's exactly what it's all about. It's the choice between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's to know that there's a little bit of both that lives in each and every one of us, and it's up to us to feed the good and starve the evil. You know, it's up to us to choose to do right instead of doing wrong. It's up to us to choose the difference between heaven and hell. And we'll see you next week.
See ya.
You give, you're a It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.